come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome back, germaphobes, to the darkest corner of the internet dungeon, the lair of the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Thanks for joining us. We watch a movie every week, and then we sit around, drink a couple of beers, and talk it over for your listening pleasure and enjoyment. This is your Saturday Night Freak Show internet radio superstar starting lineup.
Travis.
Brett.
Jenny.
Sean.
And I'm Colin. And tonight we watched Travis's movie. Travis, what did we watch tonight?
We watched Nausicaä, Valley of the Wind, or of the Valley of the Wind.
How many times have you seen this?
I've seen this a few times.
Okay. You kept saying, I don't know anybody's name. I was like, have you not seen this before?
I mean, that's just actually something I do with a lot of movies. People are talking heads. They play roles in the movie. I don't fucking care who most characters are in most movies. I don't. That's why I don't care who actors are, because,
unless their name is Clark Kent.
What do you mean, Clark Kent?
So, bring us up to speed. This is, and welcome all you anime listeners who are attracted by the title of this episode, because they're like, this is one of the greatest anime movies of all time.
Yeah.
And you want to hear what we thought of it.
And if I was going to say, if you think we're going to have any, like, behind the scenes, we've got nothing.
We have nothing spoiled
now. No, we'll talk about the movie. We don't know anything about.
Well, we know this is the movie that launched the career of Hayao Miyazaki. Correct? It says on the back of the
book. It says right here.
Yeah.
And that's how we know it's true.
Well, but his first movie was that Castle, or that Lupin the Third.
Castle of Caligastro.
Yeah, or something.
But that was before Studio Ghibli.
It would have been better if neither of you knew the name of the movie. That would have been good.
Well, I've never seen it.
What's the house one?
Howl's Moving Castle?
Howl's Moving Castle. That's a good one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Howl's Moving?
Howl's Moving Castle.
That's not a video game, that's a movie.
That's a movie.
Yeah, okay.
Which one's Cat Bus?
Cat Bus, yeah.
That's My Neighbor Totoro.
Yeah.
So, of course, we're talking about the Studio Ghibli movies that one of the main guys there is Hayao Miyazaki, who did comic books, then started directing cartoons.
Just came out of retirement, so I hear. I don't really think he was in retirement, but whatever.
I heard they shut down Studio Ghibli.
Well, I heard Disney bought it. See, we know nothing. Why are we even talking about it? Like, I thought Disney was going to buy it.
The listeners will write in and tell us.
I know they haven't been doing much, like, Disney-friendly stuff, so Disney created an American subsidiary called G-Kids. That it's released, like, the past three or four titles under. Like, actually, we're recording this when's the Oscars?
Next weekend.
Next weekend.
So by the time you're listening to this, it'll be the weekend of.
There's a Studio Ghibli up for Best Animation.
Oh, yeah?
When Marnie was there.
And that's not directed by Miyazaki.
No, I do not believe so.
How many animators, directors are in the Studio Ghibli stable?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Like dozens?
Nope, no idea. So this movie.
Well, okay, maybe do this for me. Define to me, because right before the podcast started, Jenny was asking what Travis's impression of the anime Thumbelina was. He said anime. Okay, so that's like, the
thank
question.
God she's not here, so I don't have to argue it with her.
What is the difference between an animated movie and an anime?
Anime is from Japan. Completely, 100%. I mean, like something from Warner Brothers is like storyboarded here, then sent to like Korea or something like that, you know? So, and I don't know. We're not going to talk. She's back. So
to be anime.
Anime is pretty much specifically Japanese. From Japan, right?
Okay.
And yeah, usually a lot of it is from like manga, Japanese comic source material and whatnot. So, but I think the reason this movie to me is important kind of on my list is, well, there's not Well, I think like the early 80s was like the time of the wasteland world movie, right? Your Mad Max movies and your, and I don't think there's really a lot of those movies. I mean, I'm sure there's a fuck tons of those type of movies made in Italy and shit like that, but there's not a lot of great ones. There's not a lot of like good post-apocalyptic kind of world, you know, that are really worth watching.
Okay.
Help me out here, guys.
Oh, I'm trying to think. I'm drawing a blank.
Like Mad Max. There's not that many. There's
we agree.
I'm there's Escape from New York. Hello? I mean, but I don't know if that's been like, 1990 Bronx Warriors. I keep bringing that one up. Not any good. But.
Yeah, I mean, there's shit. Well, The Enforcer.
Steel Dawn.
Yeah, there's lots of shit. That's why I mentioned, like, yeah, I'm sure there's lots of, like, post-apocalyptic movies that were made in Italy and shit like that in the 80s, but...
Yeah. But they were all ripoffs of Mad Max and Escape from New York, or, you know, combinations of the two, you know.
Yeah. So I just kind of...
Post-apocalyptic movies. I don't know. The Quiet Earth? I mean, what do you...
Yeah, and that's really not even post-apocalyptic. I mean, that's a fucked up, like... I don't even know what you would call The Quiet Earth, but...
Well, I mean, of all the countries out there, I mean, Japan has more of a... direct reaction to the post-apocalyptic world, given the World War II situation.
Yeah. What was the movie that was a Grave of the Fireflies that was...
I think so. I've never seen it.
Yeah. Because I know, I mean, again...
I've always heard it was really depressing. I'm like, fuck, I want my anime to be a little fun. I kind of like, you know, like this. They're, you know, they're the parable for fucking the nuclear bomb is a giant... monster guy, you know, so it's like, you know, I can deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, why don't you lay some of this out for us? So who is Nausicaa?
She's a princess of the Valley of the Wind. No, this world, I like this world because to me, this world is really claustrophobic, right? Because most of the world has been pretty much what burnt to ash by these what they said
the ultimate warriors
seven giant of course it's Japan so they got to be these giant
fiery
and there has to be seven
centurions
something or whatever, right. I think they said seven
golden brothers
could be wrong
seven golden brothers
so we don't know basically. Why I mean we can only assume based on where the story goes is like maybe these were some biologically engineered things that humans created for war.
Yeah, I remember them specifically saying it was a tool or something, right? It was a they were weapons. But you see them in the opening credit sequence or whatever, walking across burning cities.
That image is cool.
Yeah.
Like, I just thinking back on that, like, that's my favorite image from this movie. That's just them just walking in the distance.
Yeah, it's kind of like everything. Dr. Manhattan
It kind of is. Yeah, it's very cool.
It's also got those really, like, I don't know, like Miyazaki. I'm in love with his weird little, like, I don't even know what you would fucking call him. Almost like shapeless beings with just weird round eyes, and like that's all you can see of them is just you know, they're not really anatomical. I mean, yeah, they've got arms and
legs, they're not defined,
but they're just like, it's just like a black thing with two eyes or something. And
it was very cool. I like that image.
And so what? So they destroy the world, and
a thousand years passes.
Yeah, right? This is like a thousand years later. Mm.
And now there's a poisonous jungle that surrounds, I think, most of the planet, right? This is all ash or something, spores?
It's spores, like those bugs.
The Ulm attacked.
Like giant roly-poly things.
Right, the Ulm attacked.
From the Matrix.
They really are.
They are.
They're kind of like, but they reminded me of like the sandworms from like Dune. For some reason, I don't know why.
They kind of like the brain bug from Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
I was just like,
Well, and when they capture that brain thing, it kind of reminded me of Starship Troopers, like the main.
Like we have one bug.
Yeah.
That's also why this movie is important, is like a majority of our modern day movies. Like, the art direction comes from this fucking movie.
Well, you said that before we watched it, so I was, like, looking for that. And aside from the examples that we just gave, what else was there specific? I mean, it's possible I'm just not seeing it.
A lot of multi-wing things with four wings, you know what I mean? Because, let me fucking... I mentioned Man of Steel and Krypto. Avatar, for fuck's sake. I mean, James Cameron's all into the anime and shit. Mm-hmm. I mean...
Yeah, and the Wachowski
brothers. Did you ever play a game called Contra?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or Contra 3.
Contra 3, you get specific. Contra 3. Not 2.
Super Nintendo Contra 3. 3. It, like, some of the,
Contra 3 is a weird one.
Some of the warships in this like are like right out of that. Or the game like lifted it right out of this movie. It seems like, but like the fat, like the almost, you know, pot belly ships or planes with the like the warships. I don't know. It, and the bugs, definitely.
Yeah.
The alien like.
The multi red eyes. That's why, that's a big thing, because that became like that, the modern day like scary robot today is the multi red eyed thing. Is what we consider to be a scary robot.
Yeah, some variation of that design shows up in a lot. It's just kind of like the go-to if you're doing that invasion of something, whether it's robots or fucking aliens. Even like what's the Tom Cruise movie? Edge of Tomorrow. Even those aliens were kind of in this vein, mechanical-looking, tentacle and whatnot, kind of look like these.
But they don't always have the same, like... The reason for the red eyes in this movie, there is like
rage.
They're so angry. We know, and they're angry because the
they're like psychic bugs. They're like, things aren't cool. I'm not cool.
Yeah. Well, that seems to be like a large theme of the movie, right? Is like somehow, what was she saying? It was like there's a lot of fear in the air or something like that.
In
it's
the
like
atmosphere.
The atmosphere is made of that's what
a lot of anger in the atmosphere. You can feel the vibes, man.
Yeah,
everything was really vibey.
So is it very like hippie-ish? I mean, it's like
this is an environmentalist cartoon, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
But there's but it's also like that World War II thing going on in this whole movie.
Yeah.
Which is could also be taken as an environmentalist thing, you know. I mean, destroying the planet with radioactivity.
Right.
Yeah. You're using the nuclear bomb, because nuclear bomb is what they call a gene bomb. And then, you know, that means it affects your children, your children's children. I mean, you have mutated children. I mean, it's something that really can fuck up the human race, given like a large use of it.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's like a large spiritual component, it feels like, to a lot of Japanese culture, or at least their, you know, movie output. You know, I mean, I'm not familiar so much with their literature or whatever, but in the movie stuff, I mean, even you get down to, you know, like their horror movies, everybody seems to like be able to reach out with spirit tendrils and feel what other people are thinking, you know, the psychic power, being able to read feelings and emotions and stuff like that. It seems like that's a big part of their culture. And I guess that's why I was just wondering if that was, well, I mean, I guess it's not unique to this, but I mean, like there's a preponderance of that in like their fantasy stuff too. I think of like Final Fantasy, that movie where, you know.
It's all that, well, like reading people's chis and shit like that. Like auras and.
But like the connection to nature, I guess. The spiritual, like somehow, you know, mankind and nature are like on the same, you know, vibe. Nausicaa being the character who can actually like feel this, where everybody, nobody else can, right?
Right.
To them, a bug is a bug, and it destroyed the fucking planet, so kill it.
Yeah.
Well, because she's almost like the new, she like kind of represents the new generation, right? She represents, because I mean, fucking everybody in this world looks like they're in their 40s, right? They all have huge bushy beards. You know,
he has
mustaches. They don't even
great
have
big bushy beards.
It's a huge mustache.
No, it's a big. It's like the joining of the goatee and the mud. They just don't want to animate mouths.
Yeah.
So they just have like a moving bush. like.
Well,
like,
no, wait, was that only her people though, right?
I mean, pretty much. I mean, she found, like, there's the one younger guy from wherever the hell, starts with a T.
Terrazakian?
Turner.
Voiced by?
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
The Beef.
Well, we watched the English dub version, just so other people can, you know, swallow.
Right,
so other people can judge us. We watched the American version.
Dude, I personally fucking hate any English dubbing to anime. To me, immediately slows down the pacing of. I don't know what it is. Americans just don't put enough like action when we're like, oh, let's do this fucking cartoon. You know, take one. You know, I got it, motherfucker. You know, Like, I don't know. They just don't put enough where Japanese people,
Patrick Stewart did not.
They speak through emotion, right? But he's just, I'm Patrick Stewart. Hello.
I thought LaBeouf came off pretty good. I mean, like, in the scenes that he was.
He was
in,
young and cared then.
Yeah. He was. Yeah,
but there were some scenes where it sounds like he should be, like, raising his voice, and he's like acting like he's raising his voice. It's like, dude, come on. What the fuck? You know,
he didn't want
to
squeak.
The door to this goddamn plane is open. It's all action packed. And you're just like, come on. Nausicaa. I was just like, fuck. Yell or something.
Like the Japanese guy is better.
Well, for sure. All they do is speak pure emotion. Pure emotion. 100% pure emotion.
Yeah. You can watch the Japanese version, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But there were scenes anyway. To me, it felt like the American cast had just come in for a day and got the script and were like, "What is this? Paycheck? Okay." And just read lines, you know, like didn't give it their all, or they weren't fully aware of the characters that they were playing.
It was a pretty impressive cast, though.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Disney's got a lot of money. Disney's got deep pockets.
Yeah. Who would you? Uma Thurman. Patrick Stewart.
Edward James Olmos.
Allison Lohman.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill.
Yeah, Mark Hamill was in there. Frank Welker. Mayor something.
He was on the team of the Tarraskians.
I'll call them the T's.
Benson.
There's the T's and the P's.
Right, yeah.
That's okay. What I know.
So who? And there's one more. There's her people who are
the Valley. They're the Valley people. So the V's, the P's, and the T's.
Okay, so maybe
we. That's what I hate about fantasy. It's all fucking alphabet soup.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
yeah.
Regardless, it's like
just made up a word.
Turdonaton or
That's one of those like the door on the gateway to like fantasy for me. It's always closed in my face. Whenever they're just making up words, it's like the what? You know what I mean? Yeah. So, okay, we got the T's and the P's and the Valley. So, who are they? What do they want?
Okay, the Valley, the people, I kind of like this idea that the Valley, like, we talked about how these bugs come out and, you know, they're fucking angry at people because we ruined their land.
Yeah.
But once they die, that's where these poisonous spores grow on. That way, they're constantly spreading all over the earth, right? Like, the humans are down to their last. We only know of these three civilizations.
Sure.
And
the Valley is lucky enough to be near the sea.
So the wind keeps. I like that idea. Anyway. It keeps the spores away. That's what I'm talking about. Like the claustrophobic feel of this world. The idea, like, goddamn, you know, like they're just keeping spores out.
Yeah.
Fucking spores, man. And then they gotta like check under their leaves and shit to get rid of them, set them on fire, or whatever. I think that's there's something about that that like freaks me out. I'll be like, this world would fuck me up.
And they're very, what would you call? I mean, they're like hobbits. They live off the land, a very pastoral kind of existence, right? Wind power, everything, water.
Because these guys live with the world, right?
Yeah.
It's all about what the other countries actually want to like industrialize again. They kind of want to go back to the way things were, I suppose.
Burn it down, start again.
So there's a plane crash early on where the Valley people are sitting there and a giant airship.
A giant T-ship comes in.
Which looks, it looks very different than anything that, you know, where they're all kind of, you know, with carts and, you know, whatever. They don't have horses, but you know what I'm getting, hobbit lifestyle. Yes. Then this big, like, industrial machine plane looks like a bomber plane, or something. Yeah. Barrels out of the sky one night and crashes. And on that is
a pea princess.
Right. The princess of the peas.
Yes.
She was a captive.
No. She was a princess of the teas.
Oh. On the pea ship?
Yeah, on the pea ship.
No, it was a tea ship, and she was a princess of the peas, and they were wondering why the pea princess was on the tea ship.
No, damn it.
Yeah.
She was in chains, hello.
Right, because she was a pea.
On the pea ship.
No, it was a tea ship.
She was a tea on the...
No, it's backwards. She was a pea on the tea ship.
All right, so one of these clans...
No, because the pea clan had the weapon on that plane.
No...
Yeah.
No, the T's did.
Yeah, they stole it from the T's.
Okay.
Fight.
But it was a T ship, but the P's stole it.
Why would
I don't know. I'm just telling you.
I'll go with that. It was a T-ship, but the P's like.
We have no more listeners.
They know more about it than we do.
If we yell real loud, we might be able to get one back.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't leave.
So this is the prelude to war. No, I don't know. Is it really? But.
The Germanic, more militaristic society that we are referring to as the Peas, they want to take this. They found one of those giant warlord guys that laid waste the earth thousands of years ago. They found one of these things hibernating under the earth, and they're going to bring it back to life and try to burn down the toxic forest. Which Nausicaa knows that's just going to enrage the bugs and they're going to spread out more.
Right. Even though I think the old lady knows that too. Like, doesn't she tell a story?
Yeah, they just all know that you can't burn it down. Tried to burn it. Yeah. You can't, because it's one of those things you're fighting fire with fire, right? That's that idea, right? That you're, because I mean, Nausicaa, as much as this is what I like about the character of Nausicaa, she is an action character. I mean, she's number one, she's the princess, so she gives orders to everybody. Mm. Everybody fucking listens to her and loves her to death, right? And, but she's also she's passive aggressive. I mean, all she'll ever do is fucking, like, come up to you and be like, stop, please! And then, like, put her hand out so you can fucking bite it or cut it off or whatever, right? You know,
yeah, I'm like, that character would have been dead like so many times over, but except for, you know, the plot of the movie was like, but the thing comes up to her, feels her intention,
yeah,
and lets her live. Got
the psychic feelers.
Yeah.
They're like, I will not rage.
Yeah.
I've got the, but plus I like how, you know, cause even as soon as, the Germanic,
tribe
princess general lady makes Nausicaa go with her. As soon as she sees Nausicaa's bravery and shit, she automatically cares. Like, Nausicaa just makes fucking people care for her, you know? She's just so friendly. It's one of those things where it's like, anybody that, I don't know, it's almost like you cannot fucking, like, care for her in a weird way, right? She's just that fucking lovable.
She's peaceful. A gentle soul.
Yeah, she's just the epitome of, like, a good-natured person. Well, because she's at one with nature.
Right, shit, yeah, right? Yeah.
Indeed.
And the, well, I was probably jumping ahead, but I guess what I was thinking is, you know, the, going off the idea that the monsters, the, whatever, the, what are they called?
Bugs.
Ohms.
The ohms, the giant worms.
Matrix.
Come bugs. Up to her, you know, put their feeler tentacles on her and discover who, it reminded me in that moment of like Super 8, right? Like where you have the monster that isn't really an animal. The monsters actually do have like complex humanoid emotions, right? And if you just understood it, then it would cease to be a monster, which I think is the message maybe of this movie or part of it, right?
Kind of.
Maybe, because I mean, they do want to annihilate the human race. I do like how... That's why I do. I like, even though you're supposed to like the hopeful end, I love the like completely like bleak part of the beginning of this movie where they're just like, oh, this is going to happen. There's no stopping the spread of this toxic forest until it is over for humans. Like our time on fucking Earth is done. We were too brutal to it. So we created an environment to. I fucking love that idea, right? I love that idea of if humans were so extreme to our environment that the environment, well, like the fucking happening.
Yeah, right? the
deadly
happening.
Wind.
This is the happening. This is an animated happening. Holy shit.
You just see stuff in this. But yeah, I think that's an interesting idea.
Hmm.
You know, it's so interesting about I don't know if it's interesting or not, but the idea of Nausicaa, the first, I would say, 5-10 minutes of this film, she is narrating everything she's doing.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Everything about her character. And then, like, other characters do it, too. And it's a good way, like what you would get from a book. And, like, it's a good way to find out about the character. with in a very short period of time. And they do it in such a way where, like, they have the masks on, so you can't see their mouth, whether or not it's moving or not. And
it's almost like they're just thinking.
Yeah, you could take it as they're thinking. Yeah. And
my heart is beating so fast.
As if it were a book and you were getting the narration from the character, which I think is cool because it helps you understand the character that much quicker. I don't think you could get away with it in a live-action film, but in a cartoon it works.
Yeah, when did they make a live-action version of this? I'd watch that movie.
Yeah,
they did. It was called The Happening.
Well, there were less bugs in that movie.
Yeah.
I would actually really watch a live action version.
I don't know. Mark Wahlberg bugged me in the movie.
Wahlberg.
What, they're honeybees.
Do your Mark Wahlberg impression.
Does anybody know where all the honeybees went? Hey, you guys. What happened to all the honeybees?
It was like he was right here.
It's not good. It's like, not good.
Mark, thanks for stopping by. I didn't know you were in Rockford. Holy shit.
Anytime, guys. See you later.
Right. Now you're fucking Keanu Reeves or something.
Well, I also thought toward the end where we have like the I know we're jumping around here. We got to go back and talk about some of the other characters. Man. But the giant worms, the ohms. Are going to like bear down on the valley. They're being led to the valley to destroy it. And I was like sitting there going like, okay, like if we're reading this as like a parable, which I suppose at some point we're supposed to take this that way, it's like this is they're basically harmless, right? Granted, they give off toxic spores that are harmful to humans when they die. Dead. But when they're alive, they're basically like minding their own business until they're provoked by anything, it seems like.
Usually us dicking around in the toxic forest.
But the provocation is just that they're startled. They make a point of saying don't startle them. It's like they're an alien intelligence. If you startle them, they, you know, then their eyes go red and they become filled with rage and they just march forward and they have such power that they just destroy everything in their path. And are they talking about like a military complex or something like that? Like another country's military power, right? It's like you just don't want to startle it because
startle the Americans.
Just like a machine, it will walk right over you.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Pretty deep.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. That's all I got.
Good night, folks.
Hey.
Mic drop.
That's completely what it is. Yeah. I mean, I would guess that's what it is.
Well, who then are the T's, the P's, and the Valley people?
I think the P's are Germany because they're about dominating the world. The T's are America because they talk about, well, we just want to use the weapon to whatever, but we don't want to dominate the world, but we still want to fucking use the weapon. And that's why Nausicaa, who is Japan, is like, you're just like them. And, you know. So, yeah, that's what I think. I think America,
Japan,
Germany,
with
Japan.
Germany in the, if the this bugs. Is a World War II parable.
Well, but it's still a fantasy world where they're still, you know. Because I'm sure, I don't think Nausicaa is acting as the Japanese government. Nausicaa is acting as
human,
a Japanese.
Or like the human
element.
Yeah.
I think the collective consciousness of what was on everybody's mind after World War II. Like we talk a lot in this country or amongst ourselves, Americans in groups about 9/11. And the idea of like where filmmaking went after 9/11 happened.
It's a shite.
Perhaps, but I mean, you see in, you know, and it might even be in the filmmaker's subconscious, but there's a fear. Colin and I have talked about this a lot, you know, like
The imagery of the buildings falling, cities being destroyed and laid waste to, movie after movie.
That was Independence Day, though. That was before 9/11.
True.
We were already going there.
But they were blowing up in Independence Day. Like,
I'm saying, does art imitate life? That's my fucking chicken egg time.
Well,
would there be a 9/11 without Independence Day?
That could very well be. But like in this.
Or Armageddon. Right, the Chrysler Building. Yeah,
in this film, though, I mean, you get all the nuclear explosion. I mean, there's so much imagery of that in this film.
Every Japanese anything.
It's like they can't get over it.
Yeah,
Jesus,
they do with the cataclysm.
Well, and we can't get over 9/11 either. I mean, it's the same thing.
Why'd you have to bring up 9/11?
And I mean, you know,
I thought it would be perfect for you, Travis.
It's related to this. It's like, I mean, I get the Japanese. Okay, well, kind of, I mean, because they are the only country that really has experienced the, you know, the Holocaust, the nuclear, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you do see that in everything from, you know, I mean, what, Godzilla in the 50s through, I mean, like Akira, you know, the fact that, you know, there's this power that just, you know, levels, you know, the entire city of Tokyo.
Yeah.
And in this, I guess it's epitomized by the, well, it has to be the war machines, right? Or the, whatever, the thing that they dig up.
Yeah, the giant warriors. Or whatever, or they are the nuclear bombs or whatever.
Yeah. And the fear, I mean, when you, like, it's one thing dealing with the Cold War where there's, I mean, obviously you know that both sides have nuclear weapons. But it's another thing to be in World War II and, like, if you're in Japan and you experience it, not that, like, you weren't a victim, but if you see an entire city leveled within seconds, you know, I mean, that's... That's like the reality of a nuclear holocaust is right in your face. I mean, that's something that is like, it's not, it's no longer a fantasy or a fear. It's reality. I mean, it's scary. Obviously, it's terrifying. But I mean, that would be a hard thing to shake. You know, I mean, that would change, I think, an entire culture for years. And then obviously the Cold War would bring it all back up.
But that's kind of what you're seeing. I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, I agree with your point. I think, like, in their pop culture, you see reverberations of that. Like, yeah, I mean, that's how you can tell how deep it goes, you know?
Yeah.
That it's still, you know, still, what are we, you know, how many years, what, 50, I'm messing this up, 60 years, something like that since
70,
you
know,
70 years?
Later, yeah. 60 something, yeah.
That, you know, you're still kind of seeing echoes of that in there. Popular culture,
yeah,
you know, yeah. That's still the big one. So, but it also is interesting to me that, like, their psychology, I guess, has come around to, like, you know, the, it's not like, I don't want to say it's like the hippie thing. What am I going for here? It's that in tune with.
Well, I wouldn't even think it's because you got to think that to this day there's an American base on fucking Okinawa. You know, to this day. Yeah. So it's not like we just blew the fuck out of them and went away. No, we hung around for the fucking rest of... That's also why I like
how... Remember when we bombed you? That was a good day.
We're going to stick around and make sure you fucking don't...
Yeah, but it was under the whatever. They can't have a standing army.
Right. Yeah, so we have to make army. Sure they fucking stay under...
We're defending them from China.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because Japan fucked China. I can't get into this right now.
All right, so there's
I don't think China's ever fucked up Japan. Japan fucked up China. But anyway,
they kidnapped the whatever. Okay,
so the way Miyazaki shows an invading army, right? I mean, because that's kind of the other half of this. When that ship goes down, that's when the rest of the Germanic country. Basically storms the valley.
This is the one that's led by Uma Thurman.
Yes.
Right? Okay. The golden-bladed woman.
The right. Golden Oven.
And there's also, this is sidetracking, yeah, I'm sorry, but there is a, there's a prophecy.
Of course there is. It's a fantasy movie from the 80s. I'd feel robbed if I didn't have a prophecy.
Indeed.
The prophecy being that a warrior in blue is going to come walking across some kind of golden field and will return the world to, like, a peaceful pre, you know, the thousand years of awfulness situation. Restore balance to the force.
And wouldn't you know it?
And the person looking for that is Lord Yupa.
Lord Yupa.
Played by Patrick Stewart.
So Patrick Stewart. Is it just me or did he kind of come off like a Gandalf character? He's like, I know he's from there or whatever, but he's been away for a long time. He has some type
when he's
of,
like returning to the Shire earlier in the movie.
Yeah, I guess that's like. Why I was thinking of it.
That's what it felt like.
Because he had,
feels like that figure.
Well, yeah. She's definitely like Nausicaa's inspiration, right? Because he travels to the different places and, you know.
Yeah.
In the first, like, few, like, as soon as he arrived home and then, like, she's sitting in there, I was like, dude, fucking Nausicaa, like, loves this dude. Like, I thought, Well, because like I said, it's like everybody looks like they're in their 60s in this town. They're like this guy, of course, he looks like 15 or whatever years older. But I was like, but that's got to be the closest thing to like an actual like.
One day.
Yeah.
What are you trying to, what? What are you trying to say? Were they fucking?
What'd you call that? A suitor? a mate? I don't want to get down to the. But, I mean, yeah, you got to think about driving the human race forward.
Oh no, they're just gonna let that dwindle out. I mean, somebody's having kids on this fucking valley. There's
well, but she finds Shia LaBeouf from The Americas. The T villain.
The A's. T's.
Yeah, the T's.
Okay, so what's the T? Okay, so if the P's want to destroy the their whole thing is we want to come in and destroy the forest.
Well, I think,
and we want you, the valley people, to they're going to say like join us or we're going to enslave you, right? That's the option.
It's almost like join Germany invading Poland, right?
And
it's
you're like, going to help us destroy the
that was
forest.
Great. It's like, we come in peace, but we're shoot taking to kill. Over. Sorry.
We always come in peace.
Yeah.
If you surrender peacefully.
Right. It's up to you if you don't want peace.
Right. So that's the deal, right? I got that, I think. Yeah?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So who are the P's?
The T's.
The T's. Oh, damn it.
They are a country.
The Shia LaBeouf clan.
They're the, I call them the Americas, because they are the original ones that unearthed the giant thing, because that was their plan. Their plan was to nuke the toxic forest. But then Germany's like, or the P's, they're like, we're going to steal your weapon and your princess. And I don't know where they said they were heading for. Because they only crash landed in the valley, and then
looked like they got attacked by like little baby ohms.
Yeah, they did. They
just,
they
like, had the flying little all over the place.
Yeah, so maybe the Earth knew it. The Earth knew what was going on. I actually like that scene. All the little
she flies roly poly things on the front. Yeah.
All over the front of the plane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the ohms don't fly, right? So they were
no. This is a different bug.
They were in there. Oh, was it? Oh, it was one of the. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because it's the yellow ones that make that noise. They're like.
But they're just like the larva of the.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. Bugs.
The flying ones.
Yeah, they're the flying ones.
I just thinking they're
with four wings.
I figured they were in the jungle blasting shit up, like with their plane landed somewhere, and then all the ohms, the little ohms, got on them, and they're like,
they're trying to take off.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
They can see they were gone.
They can fly when they're stuck to a plane, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're eating through.
They're eating the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think they're feeling bad psychic energy. That's all they're doing. Like, you guys are bummers, man.
That's probably it.
I'm totally going to create a toxic forest, man. You guys ruined everything.
Well, okay. So at this point, I think I went to the bathroom. When I came back, Nausicaa was with the peas on some kind of. Like, they're flying in formation, and then they were attacked by Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
So why was she on that plane? They were taken hostage?
They took hostages with them, and I think they took her just as, like, insurance. Like, but I think, do shit until I get back. I'm going to keep your princess just in case.
Yeah, she went because she freed the princess, or at least broke the cuffs.
There's two princesses we're talking about here.
Yeah, one that died. There's Nausicaa.
And then the one she tried to save that died at the plane crash.
Which, when she died, when that princess died, what we call the T princess, the American princess. I like, it's a very suspenseful thing where she's like, did everything burn in the cargo? Burn all the cargo. Everything's burning. Good. It's like, holy shit, that's a horror moment right there, right?
Because you're just like, it's not going to burn.
You're like, oh my
Something's
God.
Something's going to come out of there.
Something was in that plane other than prisoners.
Yeah.
Big ball of mucus.
That's what, you know, but that's the one thing I don't like about movies, I got to say. Like how movies have to direct your focus on just certain characters, right? So Nausicaa sees a girl in the window. Sees a fucking plane crash, searches through all the burning bodies, and, like, finds that one girl. It's like, huh? All right. Well, it's a movie.
But it's a kid's movie, so that's why they do that.
I want to call this a kid's movie. Well, let's not get started.
Okay.
It's a cartoon? That's why it's a kid's movie?
Well, no, I didn't say that. Disney did it, so.
Disney did not do it. They distributed they it.
Okay, they distributed it. But I, fine, we won't get into it.
Yeah, I wouldn't put this down as a kid's movie.
I mean, not necessarily.
I don't think the concept is for kids, but I think.
Well, traditionally, what? The audience for this stuff in Japan is like, is it all ages or?
I'm talking about the American audience.
I've never been Japanese.
Yeah.
The American, and when they distributed it to America, I think it was supposed to be more aimed towards children.
Well, just because in America, I think you know, animation is just culturally thought as a kids.
Over there, it's definitely a higher art.
Everywhere in the world reads comics and cartoons. It's awesome.
Well, Miyazaki.
Rest of the world is awesome. We suck.
Miyazaki has won the Oscar for Best Picture, Best Animated Feature, Spirited Away. I mean, everything that you ever read about the guy says, you know, he's
genius.
Yeah, that he's one of, if not the most respected filmmaker using the medium, right?
Did he do Akira?
No.
No, that was Katsu Otomo.
Steamboy?
Something like that. Katsu Otomo.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like him.
That guy just Porco does Rosso. The most expensive ones.
Yeah.
The Akira Steam, that he just Metropolis. Does expensive ones.
That's Otomo. Yeah. Also a graphic novelist.
Yeah, that's what they all do. Yeah. Like, I wish our like illustrators like did the comic book, then they did the cartoon movie. That'd be fucking awesome.
Yeah. You know what I didn't get from this one that I... You know, that I keep on remarking on when I see Japanese anime or Japanese video games or anything is the like super fine attention to detail where, you know, they'll show you some kind of machine or, you know, and they show you like all the working parts of the thing in a shot, you know, like a shot that's only on screen for like a second or two. And you're like, Jesus Christ, they went and like figured out how the thing worked so they could show it. You know, you know, whatever, a gun, you know.
Right. Yeah, especially like the insides of the ships and everything.
Yeah.
Like even the gunships and all that. Yeah.
Detail. Did you get that in this, the that same level of, I guess I didn't, but it could just be me. I don't know.
Not to that. I mean, I guess I knew how her glider worked, but to an extent.
I don't know that there was, maybe there wasn't too much.
I mean, it was fantasy. There's not like there's real plane, like. You know, designs going on. And
well, I think of like, you know.
But you saw there's that one plane that when it lands on the water, he created like the wheels have like the like the flat panels. That way it creates, you know, that little stopping motion. I was like, well, fuck, that's genius.
Yeah. So, you can have the pontoon and.
Yeah, the mechanics of their animation.
Well, if you want to talk about one theme Hayao Miyazaki has running throughout his movies, it's fucking. Aviation. That fucking dude loves planes. Yeah, yeah. Period.
Yeah.
I mean, just
being in the clouds or in the sky. Yeah.
Just that feel. Indeed. I mean, you can even watch.
I want her fucking glider.
What's it called? The Wind Rises. Mm. That's kind of based on the. It's a cartoon by Hayao Miyazaki, and it's based on the guy the guy that. Designed the Japanese World War II fighter plane. I want to say fighter jet. I don't know.
Ooh, did he do Tailspin?
No.
That's America's hell.
Did he have Travis any input?
Disgusted.
Your comparison offends me, sir.
No. Have you seen that cartoon? It's very, very similar.
Tailspin. Flying bear, they're bears, aren't they?
No, Brad.
What are they?
No, the biplanes. Yeah, it's awesome.
Fantastic. I thought they were ducks.
They're ducks.
Are they bears? Being sarcastic?
They're bears, aren't they?
I don't get it.
Isn't Tailspin bears? Aren't they bears?
What? Yeah, they're fucking Baloo is in Tailspin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're bears. It's Baloo.
It's the Jungle Book. Lighten up, guys. I'm just kidding.
Jesus Christ.
The Jungle Book.
I didn't know it was a cartoon. I'm just kidding.
A cartoon with aviation. Well, how many movies has this guy made, you know?
I don't know.
Lots. Well, Studio Ghibli has made a lot. Looking at the list of shit.
He did Ponyo. Is it Ponyo or Ponyo?
On the sea, but on the cliff by the sea? Isn't
that what it is? I didn't know.
Isn't that like the subtitle to it?
I don't know.
That's fairly recent, right?
I think so. That one's like a couple years old.
Yeah, I thought so.
I've heard the title, but I'm not sure what the movie is.
Isn't it...
it's kind of based on Little Mermaid.
Yeah, isn't a Little Mermaid type of thing?
Fun fact, speaking of the Little Mermaid, Jodie Benson did her first voiceover in this movie.
Get the fuck out.
I know.
Her first one?
Her first one before The Little Mermaid, because this she did this in 84 and then The Little Mermaid was in 89.
Yeah, but this movie wasn't released here in 1984.
But she did the voiceover in 84. No. I just looked it up on IMDb.
When she did the voice when it was...
I just looked it up. Yeah. According to IMDb, she did in 84.
All right.
We're going to have to pause for a long time.
All right, so.
The Wind Rises. Howl's Moving Castle, you were right.
Okay, thank you very much. Sean's IMDb-ing Hayao Miyazaki. Okay, so we get all three of these people together in the air, right? Don't they, like, they end up, like, in... Help me out here with the plot of this movie. They crash into the ocean.
No, they crash in. Well,
did they burn all of the valley? Like, is the valley like sparse at like near the end of the movie, or are they outside? Pretty,
they
the
have
valley?
To burn. They have okay. Because when that plane that crashed, it brought spores or whatever.
Right, so they just burned it all.
Yeah, they had to.
Okay,
because the trees were already rotted away.
Gotcha.
Okay,
I missed that part.
All right, so they get far away from the valley, and I can't remember.
I can't remember why the German lady took I don't know what the fuck they were trying to do.
Why she took her in to begin with?
Yeah, I don't know what they were trying to do.
I feel like I missed like a very significant plot point.
But I don't think it was that significant. I don't know if they were just going to.
I think they were
go back to their kingdom and get. I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
They were going to go like inform somebody of something that, and then they were going to stick around, like break off from them and stick around and take over the valley and be like, we'll start a new kingdom here. That was kind of her idea, it sounded like. And they were just going to take her as insurance until they came back.
Well,
that's what I got.
I guess the main point of the scene anyway is they crash land in the toxic jungle, and she saves the boy that is apparently the brother of the princess from the America type country.
Yes.
Yeah.
The dead one.
Yep.
The dead one.
The dead princess. Yeah, the dead princess. And they like fall through the jungle floor and you find out that the toxic jungle is actually almost like a filtration system for the world. Like it's actually rebuilding
slowly.
Yeah, it's rebuilding the earth slowly. Underneath. But think about it. I think that's what's kind of creepy about this. It's like, well, fuck, the only way the earth will rebuild itself is the toxic jungle has to take over the whole world. That does mean either all humans have to die or they have to, like
move underground.
Strategically change location. Yeah, right. They can't move that much underground because it needs that filtration system. Because it's almost like you got your forest and then a sand pit or something like right.
Yeah, because they fell through quicksand.
Yeah. And then it just goes to
lightning sand.
Like shit, like miles and miles of just these like dead trees that basically, have created like a
ecosystem underneath everything.
Yeah.
That kind of just
so the jungle
itself.
Is like a scab on the top.
Basically, yes.
Underneath that, the flesh of the earth is healing itself.
Exactly.
Is this somewhere around the point in time when the ooms got together and put their feelers on her and healed her? Because she'd been shot a couple of times?
No. That's
go ahead.
That's
no,
okay. The end of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, sorry. But they do touch her.
That's where they feel her emotions. Her earlier,
and they're like, yes, you. Right. One of them does, and it's just like, okay, I'm calm now. And then later on, they all touch her and be like, hey, you're pretty cool.
All right. What happened after that?
Did anybody watch this?
I don't get it. I did. I was there.
I was very confused throughout this movie.
Maybe we should have done subtitles so you guys could read it.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm having trouble following the thread.
The English dialogue seemed to... You guys had trouble with the English.
Well, you have the benefit of seeing it a couple of times.
And they ended up at the ship. That supposedly was bulletproof. The submarine out kind of in the middle of the desert as they're take on.
You said that might be significant in like anime or something like that, right?
Oh, yeah, the ship.
And in history, that's the battleship Yamamoto? Yamoto?
Okay.
I don't know if it's Yamoto or Yamamoto. I think it's Yamoto, space battleship Yamoto. But the battleship Yamoto was a famous like submarine I don't know when in World War II. I'm not necessarily positive, but in Japan, the Yamato or whatever the hell. But then they did a cartoon that was space battleship where they, you know, turn into a spacecraft. And in this movie, the Valley people are hiding in it. And the guy just makes a reference to that ship's been all over the world and some say to space. So it was kind of, I don't know if Miyazaki worked on space or fuck, I can't say the name of that battle.
Yamamoto.
Yeah. Yamoto. Space battleship Yamato or whatever.
Space fuck. Battleship Yamato.
But, it was just like a call out to it.
But this would have been before the anime was produced.
No.
After?
Probably. Because I'm sure that was a manga and a cartoon series in the early 80s or something. It was a pretty popular. I mean, shit, they just did a live action. Well, Japan did a live action movie that came here just like a year or two ago. So, I mean, it's still fucking relative, at least over there.
All right, so in the battleship, this is where, now which group has taken refuge?
I've taken refuge.
Not all the Valley people, just the ones that were on the ships that...
I believe right? So, yeah. Just them.
There's still but some people back is, home. And,
are there?
And these are the ones who went on the P ships.
Yeah, they were on the ships. They were all kind of...
That crashed.
Yes.
Okay.
And they all ended up in there. And they're all getting, like, prepared to fight. The Valley people are on one side, and then the Germans... I think is we're referring to them.
Yeah.
Uma Thurman are on the other.
We've waiting. Probably totally got that all wrong, too. But all right, let's go with that analogy. Okay, we forgot Chris Sarandon. He's,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's basically with, playing he's his with character. The German. The fucking yeah, Princess Bride.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a goof.
He's Uma Thurman's, like...
Second
in lackey.
Yeah,
second.
Yeah, lackey, yeah.
Yeah. I guess, yeah I
he's like, fucking Lex Luthor's... What? What's his name?
Otis.
Otis, yeah. He's Otis.
I thought he phoned it in, you know, a little
He was
bit.
Just doing the, just you know, if he had a mustache, he would be twirling it.
Yeah.
Like,
during every line reading, you know.
It's almost like he was looking at the camera going, huh? Huh?
We're doing a cartoon, right?
Yes.
Yes.
A little hammy.
And his function is to what?
Just basically
encourage Uma Thurman in her plot.
Well... Kind of undermine her, right?
I would encourage him with Herman's plot.
Well, okay, so maybe, okay, so this is the way I was getting it, though. It's like Uma Thurman is like, well, I was calling her Uma Thurman, to be honest. The golden, the golden rod woman.
Uma Thurman.
Dot matrix.
German, so German she, Uma Thurman.
Yeah. So she's like, we have to burn this village down. Or not the village, sorry, the forest. And damn anyone who gets in our way. And there's like a sub-faction that wants to help Nausicaa get back to her people, right? Because they've actually come around to the idea that, like, you know, maybe your way is the better way to do this, right? Mm-hmm. This is the Shia LaBeouf character and, like, the Edward James Olmos character, and right? He's the little guy with the
He's eye the patch. But, yeah. He's already on the Valley side.
All right. Yeah, I'm sorry. So you gotta take this thing. So what?
11:30. That's when it all fell apart. 11:30.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I like lost the thread of this movie. I'm sorry. So that's why I'm trying to put it together to get what actually happened.
Anyway, they're going to fight.
Yep.
They're on both sides. And they're waiting. I don't know what she's waiting for. She's like, no, we're kind of waiting for the princess because she's off doing shit. And then they decide to fight, and then the Ohm are coming, like they're hoarding towards.
But everybody. Somebody's leading them.
Who sent them?
Like they wouldn't have been coming.
Yeah, who sent them to get the baby Ohm?
Yeah,
and kind of dangle it.
Was the what we're calling the Americans people. They had the baby because once the German people stole the quote unquote nuclear bomb, the giant warrior, then they're like, well, fuck it, let's just like lead. All the insects, because they even destroyed their own village just so the insects could, like, get there quicker.
Right. That makes sense.
So, yeah, so they were leading with a little baby guy.
Little baby
Ohm.
Little baby Ohm.
That they've got all, like, tortured and kind stuck of and, stuck with, yeah, bleeding out. So the Ohm are furious, hundreds of thousands of them.
Right. And the princess decides she's going to be like, no. It must be nice. And so she, you know, stops him from doing it, gets the baby home. Was gets that, turned to blue.
Oh, wait. But was that before or after they actually do unleash the giant?
Well, it's kind of all at the same time. Like, she gets the baby home and she's going to be like, go out in the middle of him, try and get him to stop. At this point, the giant warrior, the half formed giant warrior, because they didn't let it cook long enough, is like crawling over the hill, falling apart. Then Uma Thurman's commanding it to attack.
It didn't cook long enough.
It was like something, right?
Something was didn't. Yeah, it just wasn't in the egg long enough.
Sorry, that description just.
Well, it looked like it was falling apart. It was the great giant melting man. I know. It was a pretty cool visual.
It was. I like that thing. That thing was cool. And just its mangled face, and it's just trying to shoot, just like but it's just like melting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So it does nuke.
It does nuke a couple of them. It's like shooting.
I thought it like blasted. Wasn't that where we got the whole big
atomic? Yeah. But that gets like the front line. There are a lot of Ohm coming at them.
I thought maybe they just survived. I thought that was the thing. That like even though they were,
I don't know,
nuked by it, like they still just kept on.
I don't know. I think there's just a lot of them.
I think there's a lot. Like it took out the front line, and there's only one of the giant warriors. There were seven last time. Now there's one half formed one who's trying to kill them. So he's not doing so good.
Yeah, he only got like one good shot.
Yeah, and then he's like
smaller one. Then he falls apart.
And he like melts like a Nazi at the fucking.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then she like the princess.
Raiders of Lost Ark. You got to finish that.
Yeah. I was
like,
thinking,
the fuck did he just say? Melts like
if
a Nazi.
I said melting Nazis. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. That's what happened to all of them, right? Like Hitler went into the ditch, and the rest of them melted.
We threw water at them.
This is how this works.
In 1939, we threw water at the Nazis,
and they went away. And we were all better. Jesus, follow me here, people.
Follow me.
Then she decides to like take the baby home, get out in front of everybody, and just like give her life.
Well,
she
I like
stands
how
they're waiting for it. Like she's not like stop or anything. She's just like I get run over. I get run over. Fuck it. And they do. They run her over. They run
and
her ass
shoot
down.
Her. They blast her.
She gets shot. She gets run down. But she gets like turned blue from the ohm, from the baby.
I think that's
blood.
A good way to kind of like fuck up your prophecy, right? Like for some reason, I think when you watch the Japanese version with subtitles, to me, there's a lot more emphasis on the blue, the whole like blue. Whatever
the blue warrior
guy dressed in blue or whatever, right. Because as soon as she trades her clothes with that other girl from the Americas or whatever the hell and puts on the pink dress, you know, it should. I mean, right there, you should be like, oh no, fuck, you know,
right.
She's not going to be
not
the
blue
fucking
anymore.
Person. You know, the whole movie, you're like, she's wearing blue. The guy's in blue. I know. But as soon as she puts on the pink, you're like, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, she's fucking it up. But then the blood from the little beetle guy, from the little baby Ohm, it's like, she turns to blue.
I have a question. Does this movie, I mean, despite the political aspects that you guys have been, I mean, when you've been comparing it to different countries, does this remind you of Fern Gully at all? A little bit, maybe? A little? No?
A little bit.
Kind of?
A little bit.
Reminded me
less
of
wacky.
I don't remember my Fern Gully well enough.
I have watched it recently.
I'm going to say
as you should.
Colin, you would remember it as
Avatar.
Yeah.
Avatar. Avatar. Yeah. Yeah. Dances with Wolves.
Yeah.
That was my.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I would say no, because those stories usually involve somebody joining somebody's culture.
Yeah.
And then going into the deep wood or where fuck.
Learning. Yeah, she starts there. Nausicaa's already there. Like, right. In her mindset. She's the pure soul already, right? It has to teach the rest of them that, where I think the other ones are, you know, someone from an industrialized,
right,
you know, society going into and becoming native with the.
Going native.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
The earth people.
Just thought I'd check because I kept thinking of Fern Gully when I was watching this.
So the Ohm do end up like slightly attacking and like crashing into shit. But they stop and they all turn blue again, slowly but surely. Kind of like. It's weird because they're like. They say fuck her and they attack, but then they turn blue. Like she doesn't stop them, at, like right off the bat.
Because the
like,
baby was concerned with Nausicaa, right?
I think that's
why.
Basically
that's
it.
What stopped them.
The baby's like, no, wait, her. And then they all gather around and they stop and they go in. The tentacles come out.
Side tentacles.
Right. And they're just like, oh, raise her vibes, up.
But not before. I mean, they blast her pretty good at first.
Yeah, they ran her the fuck over. She was dead.
Don't give a fuck about her.
She's dead.
She was dead.
And then she's brought back and the prophecy's fulfilled. Everyone's happy. And so do the Ulm just like go off and like this will never happen again? Like everything's good now?
I don't know. Because like I said, I think the only, I mean... the only way to like cleanse the earth is to, maybe if they keep the bugs happy, they're not going to turn into the toxic jungles.
Maybe.
Right. But the world, but they still talk about how like the topsoil's polluted. They've already polluted. They need the toxic jungle. If they're going to recreate the earth, they need the toxic jungles to take over the earth.
It does show at the very end that a plant has started growing on the underneath. Below the scab of the toxic jungle. So it is possible they could, like, get down there and, you know, start shit going.
Start building underneath.
Yeah.
Because I do think that, like, and even that's going to be, like, a million-year process or some shit, you know? That's so, I don't know. I think this is just, like, a positive ending to a story.
Probably.
But I think, like, the human story
is not
is still pretty negative in this movie.
Still like, pretty dim.
Yeah, what was the prophecy? I guess if that's the thing that we're saying, like once the prophesied one is installed, what's supposed to happen then?
I think the toxic jungle is going to quit spreading and the healing is going to begin, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the point of when it goes to like her hat in the sand underneath the whatever, underneath the toxic jungle, there's that little sprout of like,
right,
because those are just all those trees in the in the whatever it is, the lower layer. Those are all just like petrified trees that turn into sand, and that way it's like becoming like a filtration system or something.
Yeah, but apparently things start growing there now. So you happy? Kind
of. Well, is that we got anything else on Nausicaä before we head into our mailbag and wrap ups?
Mailbag.
Okay, yeah. So Igor, no, Igor, no. Igor, there you are. Jesus Christ, Igor.
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
And thank you for that mail, Igor. If you want to reach us.
You got a haircut. Did you see that?
Yeah, I know. That's kind of cool. Nice.
He's looking good,
Igor. Rocking the faux hawk now. It's all a little slimy, but if you want to reach out and touch.
Sean's looking at
him. You guys can't see him? You guys can't see him?
A method.
If you want to reach out and comment on this episode and tell us more about Nausicaä, of the Valley of the Wind, where we got it wrong, where we're spot on the money, you can get a hold of us at facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show or on Twitter at Sat Freak Show, which is where G-Money got a hold of us to talk G-Money? To us about the movie that we watched, Triangle. He says, I'm not a fan of the film, but I like Melissa George and all of her films since 30 Days of Night and A Lonely Place to Die. And then he says, enough Home Alone and Hook bullshit. Let's get back to the horror films, please. More guilty pleasure horror film reviews, please.
Jeez, G-Money.
I am in debt to your show for the creation of the Rain of Fire scale, which I feel should be converted into t-shirt form.
Yes.
Call back to a two-year-old joke. Thank you.
We no G-Money. Longer own that scale.
That was directed at me and then Tom.
Yeah. But have you not heard our recent Maximum Overdrive and the Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires and Triangle episodes? I mean, G-Money.
G-Money, the funny thing is the same person that picked Hook and Home Alone also picked Triangle.
Yeah. In your face, G-Money.
Don't insult G-Money.
We
like
G-Money. He
insulted me. G-Money, we love
G-Money
you.
Or G-Money? Yeah,
we appreciate you. Thank you for writing in.
We appreciate everybody's G-Money. Feedback. Again, Facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. You can also get all of our past episodes on our website, which is SaturdayNightFreakShow.blogspot.com. And now it is time for our final thoughts on this film, starting with Brent.
Okay, so I mean, I kind of feel like Travis in this position because and it's
let him finish.
Yeah, let me finish.
You interrupted him.
I know.
Fucking.
I like a lot of Hayao
Miyazaki.
Hayao Miyazaki movies. But this one, I do not. I think I hate it. And it's not because of the message. It's not because of the animation or the, you know, what it is for me is the pacing. The pacing just is just like, I don't know why it's 2 hours long. I think that this is like a half hour easy, like maybe 45 minutes. I don't need like most of this movie. There's just too much in it that I'm just like, I mean, I was struggling to stay awake. I understand the point of the film, I guess, to an extent. And I think that it's a well-produced film, but there's just too much of it. I didn't like it at all. I hated it, I think. I think I did. I would not recommend it, but I would definitely check out like Howl's Moving Castle. That's pretty captivating. What's the one he got? The Spirited Away. That's good. And then I would also check out, I know it's not him, but in the same vein. I like Porco Rosso. But I would also check out Steam Boy. I know it's not.
Yeah, that movie sucks. But
there you go. But Travis got one in on me. But I can't recommend this movie. I just can't do it.
Well, watching this movie, I was excited for it in the beginning, and I was just so confused the whole movie. Like, I don't know. Maybe the subtitles would have helped me, but I just don't. I didn't understand it. I'm excited about it because Jodie Benson's in it, and I love her. Simply because she was a Little Mermaid. If you listeners don't know that, it has the American dub version has a good lineup of people that voiced it, which is interesting. But as far as the plot goes, I don't know. It didn't hold my interest, so I'm gonna have to pass on this one too.
Nausicaa. I actually really like this movie. It is 2 hours long, and that seems, Miyazaki, it seems like he likes to get like the whole, if he's got a story, he likes to have the whole breadth of the story, in there. He doesn't want to cut everything down. He kind of puts his whole vision up there. I respect that, but I mean, 2 hours of this, I can't quite do, but, I do like it. I think the animation is gorgeous. I like the story of it. I would actually recommend this. Make sure you set aside some time for it because it is pretty long. But other than that, I mean, it's just beautiful to watch. Like, I love the detail he puts in his animation. I found the story compelling. If you can cut it down a little bit, that would be great. But other than that, yeah, I recommend it. I thought it was good.
I did think the animation was very beautiful, though. I did like that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciated the art style of it. But I don't know. There's just something about... It's a lot of anime in general, so I don't know. I don't know if I can actually judge this movie because I'm such an outsider to it, and it just somehow they keep the door shut on me, or I can't. You know, I was confused during the movie. I mean, as evidenced by talking about it afterwards, I couldn't follow it. You know, for shit. And I'm like, you know, I mean, I'm not like a stupid person, so I'm like, what the fuck happened? You know, it's like it was just I could not lock into it. I just couldn't connect with the movie. Yeah, and I have to assume that some of it's, you know, some kind of cultural thing that's lost in translation, or it's. Fantasy, you know, which I think I have a hard time with a lot of time, especially when you get into like purely invented world, which, you know, I mean, if we're saying the guy created a universe, you know, that's a thing, you know, to be proud of, and it's an accomplishment. But like, I was just, you know, outside of the bubble, I guess, like, you know, just looking into it, seeing this pretty thing, but I mean, there was nothing to really get me into it. So it's like, I can't recommend it, but I can't say, you know, that you shouldn't see it because I just know that I'm not the audience for it. Right. So I, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of stuck.
It is weird.
I did not like it, but you might, you know, if you're into that kind of thing, I am not one of you, but I know you're out there. Yeah.
I mean, I like this movie just because I think it's hard to find a movie that is saying something. Even though environmentalist shit is a really easy go-to, but so many people make that a pill, right? So many people make watching something about something that's really, like, obvious. I mean, not like this isn't obvious or anything, but I think it's a good journey. I like how your introduction into this world. I like the discoveries of the world that, you know, especially when you get into how the forces recreate, how the world is recreating itself, you know. It's, I think the Japanese version, to me, always moves quicker. Like, putting American people in, like, I always, whenever we watch these, I always have the, we always watch the English dubbing because I think that'd be easier for some people that don't want it because most people bitch about subtitles. But, like, I'm almost thinking that that just can't be. Like, you have to have the subtitles. You have to have the actors. You have to feel the, you just have to feel the, because, I mean, the pacing revolves around the Japanese actors, not the American actors, you know? Mm. So those are American actors trying to either lengthen their whatever they're saying or whatever, you know? So I think it is kind of hard to judge by watching. I mean, that's why I usually don't watch any foreign film in dubbed. Yeah, dubbed, because you're already fucking up your pacing right there. But no, I fucking love this movie. I love everything not everything Hayao Miyazaki does, but almost everything Studio Ghibli is always usually going to be worth your time, you know? And I think they are, I don't know, the closest you could come to a cartoon being as meaningful as a live action movie.
Mm-hmm.
Are probably Studio Ghibli movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like this world. Like I said, I think this world to me is so, I mean, I'm not saying every movie copies exactly the way this looks, but you can just look at,
you can see the influence.
You can just see the fucking influence that this movie had on just shit tons of movies to follow.
I have a question for you, Travis.
I probably don't know the answer.
Oh, well, just because I'm not, I haven't watched a lot of anime movies, but are, the majority of anime movies, like the landscaping and the background for the animation, are they as detailed and like, as,
I mean, usually of the
as
major
good as
pictures.
It was in this movie, like, I know the characters always look similar in the animation style, but does the background and stuff look as good as it did in this movie?
I mean, I think that's why Japanese animation has kind of a step above most animations, because they don't have to worry so much about what the characters are going to look like. A lot of their characters have the, you know, you got the big eyes, da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like Colin was saying, when they draw like a cockpit or something so realistically, they actually work out the mechanicals of things. I think that's, they have so much more time to think about the rest of the background and the clothing and that, because they know their faces are all going to kind of read the same, and they know, so they can make sure the hairstyles and la 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 are unique to each character, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess that's my,
I just thought it was very pretty, so I was curious.
We didn't even mention Tato. I want a Tato.
Oh, yeah.
I want a Tato.
Oh, yeah.
If I can have a fucking like little cat fox on my shoulder for the rest of my life, I'd take it.
He was like a cuter,
that was awesome,
more realistic, like animalistic version of Pikachu with bright green
basically,
eyes.
Basically. But yeah, I want one of those. Give me a Tato.
There you go.
Crazy.
All right, so that's
it.
That's Nausicaä Valley of the Wind. And next week, Sean is going to be guiding us through his pick. Sean, what are we watching next week?
We are going to watch Captain America. I forgot what year it is. Fuck, like I probably
1991.
Is it 1991?
Yeah.
The 1991 Captain America. Yeah, buddy.
All right, so that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show, ladies and germs. And until then, the basement is going dark.